91. I want to read the psalm to you tonight, and then we'll lay out some action, some plans. We'll pray then. Glad that you're out, and I hope you're all feeling well. Amen. It's kind of an unprecedented time that we live in, and for most of us, we've never been through anything like this before. I mean, we've heard of things, and we've been through some serious situations, but not in the scale with that reacting. And I'm somewhat concerned that's going to get worse before it gets better as far as their actions and restrictions. There's rumors of different things going to take place, and I'm hoping they're just rumors. But if people start dying here in Iowa, I could get worse, and I suspect it will. All right, Psalm 91, let's hear what the Word of God says. It says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Amen. Surely He will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, under His wings shalt thou trust. His strength shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, and even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." What a great psalm to read and to remember in this time that we live in. This is some of Moses. There's no author attributed to it, but the previous one was from Moses, and they believe that this one is from Moses as well, as he calmed and assured the children of Israel in their journey through the wilderness. I was reading quite a bit this week about some things, and we have read that, a German physician in London spoke of this psalm often during the cholera outbreak of 1665 in London, as many folks died. He would quote this psalm as he would work on his patients. Spurgeon also found great encouragement from this psalm as he cared for the sick and dying during a similar outbreak of cholera in London in 1854. And as Spurgeon labored night and day to pray over the sick and to bury their dead, he was worried about himself as well as family. He happened to read this psalm and took great courage as he pastored his church. His church was not in the area that was quarantined, so he's able to keep his church open and minister to the sick and those that were in the area, and saw great revival and great results from that. And so oftentimes at times like this, when people are faced with the frailty of life and how fragile it is, they think of eternity. And so that's one of the struggles I have as far as a pastor, as far as not being here at all, is that there might be some that are seeking. And so tonight I want to give you a little plan of action and then encourage you with this psalm. As many as you probably know, on Tuesday afternoon, the governor of Iowa declared a state of emergency. Probably here right now, telling us to leave and go home. Anyway, she declared a state of emergency in Iowa, which would shut down all restaurants, of course, and bars, limit some things. But that also included not just public places, but also included, in her announcement, included churches. And so churches were supposed to prohibit the gathering together of any more than 10 people. And so tonight we're breaking that. It's not a law. And so I think the worst that could happen was they'd come here and ask us to leave. I think that she want to overstep her bounds somewhat according to the Constitution. But our action tonight is to continue to work to honor God and to walk by faith and not by fear. And so there's much for us yet to do. And so As a pastor, of course, I want to be a good Christian and be a good testimony to our community. I also want to be a good Bible believer and stand for God. And when they told Daniel he could no longer pray for 30 days? Don't pray for 30 days. He went to the same place and prayed as he always did. And so I think there's some correlation there for us to be faithful. I guarantee you the lions are just as dangerous as the coronavirus, probably more so. These men of old and men of faith have stood even when death appeared to be certain. And so we will continue as long as we can, meeting together, assembling together as long as we possibly can. We are working on some plans to try to spread people out. Not only do we want you to spread out in the pew here in the church, but we're going to make it available. Hopefully, if we can work some things out, we have some malfunctions today, but we want to open up downstairs and get people downstairs as well to spread people out. There'll be a video downstairs, live, we can watch from downstairs, and also sound. And then we can also use the Sunday school rooms too to put people in to try to obey the ordinance of 10 people per room or 10 people at a gathering. See if we can't work around that way. Now there will be many tonight, many that won't come, and that's fine. We're not going to pass judgment on them or not. So we're going to keep on doing that. I want to encourage you though, if you're sick or running the fever, you need to stay home. All right. So let's not pass things around that we don't need to pass around at this time. It's going to take just one person getting sick, and all of a sudden it's going to cause a great deal of anxiety. So if you're sick or have a fever, stay home. And we'll continue to gather until it's unsafe to do so. Now, I will, as a pastor, with the help from Brother Maury and some other men of our church, you know, cancel services if we need to. Would be nothing more if for some reason the coronavirus got bad in Dubuque and there are many folks afflicted by it. If it gets unwise or unsafe for us to gather together, just like we would cancel for a snowstorm or a blizzard, we'll cancel for that as well to protect the safety and health of our church. Now, if you're older, I'd encourage you to use great wisdom for those that it might impact harder than others. And so we will continue to do this until we have to do something else or they make us do something else. I believe that we're on a slippery slope here, and so I want to, not that I want to defy or be arrogant or be cocky, but if they're going to make us stop meeting, I want them to make us stop us meeting and have to fight for it. And so I don't believe that this time there'll be any like fines or jail sentences. I think the worst they can do at the initial point is try to make us go home. But then we'll go home and come back next Sunday. So we're going to do the best we can to stand for the Lord and be wise this time. I do believe it's serious enough to think about and to take precautions and to take care of yourself, but I do also think they're overstretching. I do think that it's a lot of hype, and I do think that there's some political gain behind it, and so we want to be careful that way as well. I do want the church to remember, first of all, the elderly, all right? And so we do have folks in our church that are elderly that we need to remember and call upon them. And I don't know if we need to assign some people to call people on a regular basis. Ms. Lowell told me the other day that a fellow at her apartment passed away, and he laid there for how many days? 5 days before they found him. And so I'm sure that was an awful mess to deal with. And so I'd hate to have somebody in our church get sick or something and lay around for 4 or 5 days and not be found or not be helped. And so how about, would anybody be willing to call? I want you to notice with me at verse number 5 of Psalms 91. It says, "Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day." It talks about number 6, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness. Of course, this virus this is a pestilence. That's what the pestilence means. It talks about diseases and different things. And God said that we shall not be afraid. Now, what I want to draw attention to, it's funny that Kenneth Copeland and a bunch of other faith healers canceled their big conference they're having on faith healing. That was kind of amazing to me. I saw that on the news that they canceled their big conference they have on faith healing. I'm not sure why they just don't heal it. He was healing the coronavirus for the TV. He must not have worked too good. They had to cancel their services. But God didn't say that we would never be afflicted. And it's very possible that somebody in our church might get the coronavirus or worse. You know, in our church, we've dealt, last several years, we've dealt with other things. We've dealt with cancer, family members. We've seen family members pass away. God didn't say that we wouldn't be afflicted or our flesh wouldn't be afflicted because our flesh is corrupt. It's a sinful flesh that's going to die. We're appointed once to die. But God did say for the believer that makes God his refuge, thou shalt not be afraid. And that's what I want to encourage tonight is not to live in fear. Not to live in fear what the coronavirus may do to you or what man may do to you. All right, God is our refuge. And so God says, when you make me your refuge, that he gives safety and that he gives courage and he gives comfort. And he shelters us in the arms of his, under his wings. God says, verse number 9, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. So God is not just a visiting place. Not that something that we just, somebody we just go by and check on every now and then. God needs to be our habitation, something that we abide with and dwell with and walk with on a daily and hourly, minute-by-minute basis. And so the psalmist says here, Moses said here in verse number 2, I'll say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. And so Moses was not afraid of what God would do, for what would happen with him. All right, so Moses said here, the reason he was no longer afraid and when they live in fear, he said, because he said that he will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. That has to be a personal choice on your part. You have to decide, he is my refuge. And so I'll admit tonight, as your pastor, there is a little bit of anxiety, a little bit of, I guess because I've never been down this road before, it's a little bit of intimidation of what may or may happen. And the unknown sometimes can be a little bit scary, if I can use that word, a little bit fearful. We don't know how bad, even during 9/11, things kind of peaked a little bit in a big hurry, but calmed right back down. Even during Y2K, there was a little peak during some things, but things calmed right back down. And there wasn't this kind of reaction from our government as far as closing things down and stores and quarantine and enforcing that. And you hear rumors now of martial law and rumors now of closing down gas stations and rumors of shutting down roads. So it's a little bit intimidating, I guess, because we never have lived in this kind of day before. But with that being said, God is still our refuge. And this is really where faith in now is revealed. It's easy to say we have faith in the day of when things are going good. We can meet and open and not have any fear of repercussions. We can not be afraid of anything. So now faith kicks in. When faith now, all of a sudden now when you're challenged with what will you do with your faith? What will you do if there's repercussions? What will you do if you get sick? And that's where faith really begins kicking and shows. And that's what I want to do as a pastor, is not only stand for what's right, but also be example of faith and believe in God. And so we live kind of a weird day and age where everything is weighed against what's going to benefit me, what's going to cost me. But if you read about history and our history, even our modern day history, and early American missions, when people go and, you know, read about Moffett the Elliots, when they would go to mission field knowing that they would never return, knowing that, you know, they would get on a ship and they would take months to get to where they were going to go, and knowing that when they got there that most likely they would die on the field, never see their family again. And I believe it was Moffett that went to, I think it was Africa, if I remember right, and lost his family died there on the foreign field. He lost his wife and his children, and he went knowing that he probably would lose his family and maybe his own life. And so in today's day and age, I just can't help but think that, you know, I want to be faithful. I want to be a courageous Christian. And so, this is small compared to what other Christians have gone before us and faced, you know. And so, when God is your refuge and that he's in control, my thought is if we do what's right and walk in God's will and walk by faith, then if something happens to us, then that's the will of God. It's the will of God, and God's got a plan for it, and God will be glorified through it. Again, I'm not saying be foolish. I'm not saying, we're not to tempt the Lord our God, but we're to live by and walk by faith. So there are some things I'd be happy to compromise on, some things I'd be happy to give up, but there's some things that I believe the Word of God does not allow me as a pastor, as a Christian, to compromise on. That's my own personal stand. Now, what you do the next few weeks, that's your personal religious liberty. And I just want you to know that I'll support and stand with you no matter what you do. I love this church. I love Dubuque, and I want to see things happen here. And I believe that there needs to be a light on somewhere for those that are seeking and for Christians to gather. And we'll do this until we can no longer do it. All right, that's what I have for this evening. I hope that helps you some. There are other pastors that are much greater communicators. I talked to Brother Whiting the other night. I said, you're a much greater communicator than I am. They always think of things that afterwards I think, oh, I should have said that or done that. But I want you to know that everything's all right in God's economy. I really believe with all this, there is some judgment against our nation, our country, our world, for the things they've done, for running from God. I think this is God's wake-up call saying, you know, I'm giving you grace and mercy. Come back to me and turn to me. And so I think the worst thing that our governor can do is deny Christians the right to turn back to God and assemble when that's what we really need. And so our spiritual health is just as much important and more so than our physical health. And so I want to help maintain that. All right, let's take some prayer requests tonight. What I want to do is I want to divide up and pray. You pray as long as you want to tonight. When you get done praying, then you can just be dismissed and leave when you get done praying. And by the way, okay, on Sundays, let me talk about Sundays real quick. Sundays, we're just going to have 11 o'clock morning service. There'll be no Sunday school, no Action Teens, no choir, no evening service. But there'll be 11 o'clock service here Sunday. We're going to try to have it so that there'll be some places downstairs to sit to spread our people out. But that'll go until at least April 1st. That's when the state of emergency is lifted. And we'll go until at least that. And then starting on the 1st, we'll go back to our normal services, unless otherwise we have to. So we'll find a lot out in the next 2 weeks on what will happen. So remember that for Sunday, if you would please. And if we can't do that, we'll figure something else to get people ministered to. All right, let's take some prayer requests tonight.